petition number 115829.
Mr. Albert Hurst, Reel 9. Well, we were talking about your position you'd taken up on the right-hand side of this T, you know, the top of the T, in Trones Wood on the 9th of July. And you said there was just your machine gun team and that the two others had been hit by a shell to your left, and that you hadn't seen anybody else in particular at that stage.
No.
So what happened next then?
Well, we had our machine gun mounting, and we had a vague idea that there was no continuity of our trench occupation. We knew these men had been blown to pieces, but we didn't know what was beyond them, kind of thing. Now, our captain was taken prisoner.
How'd that happen?
They identified this trench that we were on as being a ditch and continued on into the German lines. He was taken prisoner.
Had they been ahead of you then?
Well, we don't know where they were. What he said was that they thought it was a ditch.
So you don't really know when this had happened, do you?
So presumably it's actually the same sort of ditch trench that we were occupying.
And that's where everyone else had got to?
Yes. Well, we didn't know, of course. We didn't know where we were up to. We stuck in a position which we'd been allotted to us, and that was it.
Now, were you under fire at this stage?
No, not heavily, but we were under fire. That was out when we were all wounded.
And now, what happened then? Tell me how you were wounded.
I was given chocolate out when I was wounded. Handed chocolate.
From your iron rations?
Somebody had sent me some chocolate. And I said, there's a man on the gun. I stood up, sort of facing the Germans, handed his chocolate out. A shrapnel shell burst, and it had everybody except one. And the only chap that wasn't injured was too sick to bandage it up.
He got shell shock.
Possibly so. Anyway, he was the only one of all the lot that wasn't wounded.
Were you wounded seriously?
A shrapnel across the ear.
Across the lower ankle?
Not there.
The bottom of the foot?
As a shrapnel mark right across there.
And what about the others? How were they wounded? Were they seriously wounded?
No. Not so far as I know.
So you've been lucky in a way?
Ever so.
So what happened then?
Tried to make our way back to the dressing station.
Back through the wood then?
Yeah. Down the main communication trench. Well, I tried to take a more direct route to this more communication trench, because I thought this might be wandering off somewhere, who knows where, kind of thing. So I tried to go sort of half left back. I was joined by another chap out of a big company who'd been shot in the shoulder.
Were you able to walk, or were you crawling, or what?
Well, I was crawling and walking, kind of thing. So the major, along with the reserve company, was on the bottom of the steel trench.
Carry on.
And he stopped us to want to know, like, why we're going, what was wrong with us, and what was happening up at the top. All we could tell him that we had no contact between our machine gun position and nobody on the left. So the major then sent up some reinforcements to establish and strengthen the position, the known position on the left.
And what state were you in? Was your wound hurting?
No, it was sort of numb. I've been clouted with a sledgehammer. It was numbness more than anything. I was losing plenty of blood.
Now, I believe your friend was shot, the one with a shoulder wound.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
We crawled and crawled towards the dressing station as much as we could.
And did you go back across to Bernafay Wood then?
No. Yeah, I had all the maps to show you where the dressing station was. It was at the briquetry. What was left of the briquetry there, and it was roughly more behind Tones Wood, if you follow me, than it was behind Bernafay Wood.
And what happened to your friend?
We struggled and struggled over this ground till we came to a point where we considered we were out of range. And we stood up, tried to walk. I picked up a stick there. I was trying to walk with a broken branch. There were two shots. One hit me under the shrapnel helmet here and bounced off. And he was shot. There's two South African stretcher bearers picking up the South African wounded. So I called to them and told them where my friend was. And they said they'd pick him up. I heard later that he died of wounds the following day in Chipperley Hospital. Chipperley.
Now, you'd been actually hit on the helmet, had you? Under the right
ear? It hit me under there. It just sounded a rifle gun off in me roll.
So it just flicked across? It didn't hurt? It didn't give you a wound?
No, not at all. Neither said I kept having my head blown off ever had in my life. And it just sounded a rifle gun off in me roll.
So you carried on the journey, after you told the South Africans, you carried on back to the dressing station?
Yes. I crawled them all the rest of the way. Now, the dressing station took me to a train and I was sent off to Rouen.
What, did you get any treatment at all at the dressing station?
All the elementary kind of dressing, you know, rudimentary.
On your foot?
Yes.
Did you get a tetanus injection there?
I don't remember.
So they took you back and then you went to Rouen?
Hmm.
What treatment did you... That was to a hospital, wasn't it?
Yes, a big military hospital.
And what treatment did you get there?
Back to Rouen. I was to evacuated out of here, so as to get us to England, out of way to make way for the excessive number of wounded which were following on.
Do you think you should have had better treatment?
Well, in view of the casualties that were being incurred, they hadn't room for us, you see.
And you understood that?
Well, that was the circumstances of a few years. I came to after, not being aware at the time why, kind of thing. But as we came to know the terrible casualties that have been occurring besides the sun, we had an awareness that it had been necessary to clear us from Rouen.
So where did you go from Rouen?
Le Havre to Southampton.
I thought you went to Asturias or somewhere like that with some German POWs.
That was the ship. The ship was called the Asturias. That sailed from Le Havre to Southampton.
I see, yes. And you still hadn't had any proper treatment?
No.
Did you have any contact with the German POWs aboard?
No, but one of the hospital staff was talking to a German, but they were too far off from what I could hear what they were talking about. But the Germans that were immediately near me were all Germans who couldn't speak other than German. So I had no sort of conversation at all with them. Now, when we got to Southampton, the German wounded, of which there was only one Englishman on that deck, were all taken off first, the German wounded.
And what happened to you?
Well, I was put on this platform at Southampton Station, which was the floor was packed with German wounded, with the English wounded. And then I'm subject to being loaded in this train on the floor of the train which was going to Scotland. Well, the railway transport officer said the train didn't move till that man's taken off the floor and put back on the platform. And the right argy-bargy about this, but finally they had me taken off the train and put on the platform. I stood away in front of everybody else, and all the other women were sort of behind me. And I was the first on this train.
The next train?
The next train. So, one of the officials there, the staff, I said, "Where's this train going to?" Well, he said, "It's either going to north of Scotland or Manchester." I said, "You're kidding me. I'm Manchester, you know, across the shoulders." He said, "I'm not." I said, "Let's be honest, are you telling the truth?" He said, "Well," he said, "I shan't know till we get to Birmingham." When we've got to Birmingham, he said, "I don't know where we are going then." And he said, "I'll come and tell you." When we'd come from Birmingham, he came along. He said, "We're going to Manchester." I said, "Thank you." And we did. We landed at Mayfield Station at Manchester. And the first man I saw on the opposite platform was our managing director.
From your firm?
From the firm.
Did he notice you?
No. No, he didn't see me. He was talking to other men. And from there, I went to Bolton. I had some time at Bolton.
Bolton Hospital?
Then to Stockport. And then to Ashton.
The hospitals are deep.
Yes.
And when did you start getting real treatment for your foot? Because I believe it was starting to go rotten.
Yes, it went septic with having stood in all this muck, you know. It got infected. So I really sort of getting some, not much, at Bolton. I didn't get any real treatment that I can remember till I got to Weston.
Did they change your bandages and things like that at all?
Yes, but my foot wasn't washed. It was all blood and mud and, you know.
So during the way down and during the crossing, and even while you were at Bolton and Stockport, it wasn't even washed?
No.
And wouldn't that be why it went septic?
Yes.
So they washed it at Ashton?
Yes.
So you didn't stay at Bolton and Stockport long then?
No. I can't remember, but perhaps about 3 weeks to a month in all, between the two.
But you don't think your wound was even washed while you were there? Surely they
no.
had?
No.
Surely they had time to do that, though?
Yeah, but they didn't.
Did you feel that was neglect?
Yes.
Did you complain?
Yes, but they said they were too busy. And the type of staff that were looking after us were not really nurses, you know. They were, what would I term them, auxiliaries.
So you didn't feel they were properly trained?
No.
And when did your foot had started to go wrong during this period while you were at Stockport and Bolton, had it? Bolton and Stockport.
Well, I suppose it was a gradual build up to this condition.
And what happened when you got to Ashton?
Well, they were putting hot fomentations on it to try and draw it. And of course, I was on crutches. Well, I couldn't move about a bit.
Were you worried about losing your foot or part of
it? I wondered indeed what was the final effect of it. Because it didn't seem to heal. The distressing kind of septic condition which prevailed.
And how long were you in hospital altogether?
6 months.
So you'd be in until January?
Yeah.
1917.
I was back at Ripon at Christmas of 1917.
Christmas of 1916?
Well, 16, rather. I'm getting mixed up with your 16, of course.
That would be about 5.5 months then.
Yes, somewhere about that.
And was your foot fully recovered then?
No, indeed. I was limping about. I was sort of there were a number of us who'd had similar conditions of wounding in the legs and the feet, and were on no duty. No duty considered in getting out on the canal side and sitting on the canal side all day because we weren't allowed to stop any else.
Wasn't that a bit cold in winter?
I'll say it's terrible. Now we were spending a day on the canal side to keep out of sight.
And Ripon, was that the depot of the Manchester at the time? Or
yes, yes indeed.
And were you attached to any particular battalion or was it just the depot?
Just the depot.
And how long were you there for?
I can't remember. But while we were there, a zeppelin came over and dropped a bomb near us. It was bombing the East Coast shipyard somewhere. Now, when we were in the trenches, a German zeppelin that had been bombing Paris came over our trenches. And I saw this zeppelin. Now this one at Ripon, he just dropped his bomb in the mud, in the river, which covered our hut with muck and nothing else, no trouble else.
Did air raids like that make you nervous? I mean, it was a new thing, wasn't it?
I don't remember having any great apprehension of results.
when you were at Ripon, did you want to get back to your battalion on the Western Front, or did you feel you'd done your bit?
I felt I'd done my bit. But that didn't matter, because every night they were getting the fit men off back to the front.
Were you worried about that?
No. Anybody that ran off the playground, the names were taken and they were on the next draft to the front. I couldn't have run off that playground to save my life.
Cut your foot?
I was limping about.
So what happened next then? How long were you at Ripon? You got there around about December 16.
I know I was there at Christmas. One day, Chatsworth came in to me. Have you seen an Aldrich Moor? I said, no. You lucky so-and-so. You're going back in the Renaissance tomorrow. So that's how I went to look for an Aldrich Moor, and it was right. And I was sent back to the firm which I'd been previously working at.
Now that's the National Gas and Oil Engine Company.
Yes, that's in Ashton. That's another one.
Now why had you been recalled to them?
Well, that was where my usefulness would be more applicable.
Were you still a soldier when you were sent back to them?
Oh yes, indeed.
You weren't demobbed then?
No. No, I could have been recalled any time that it had been deemed necessary to have re-enlisted me.
So when you went back, were you in uniform when you were working at the factory?
Well, I had the option of wearing uniform or not, so.
Which did you do?
Well, sometimes I put uniform on, but also I was in civilians. I went in civilians to work.
Now, so you went back, and do you remember when you started work back at the National Gas and Oil Engine Company? Early 17, was it?
Early January, sometime in January.
1917?
I would think so, yes.
So for the last 2 years of the war you were there?
Yes.
And what duty had you been recalled to do?
We were testing engines for the Russians.
And what sort of engines were these? Were these the vertical or...?
They were for hauling heavy tractors. They're a sort of heavy tractor engine. Tons of horsepower. And Russian Hornsby's were complete at Lincoln. They were completing the necessary additional bodywork, which was contributory to the whole vehicle.
So you weren't making stationary vertical or horizontal engines. Now they'd switched production to making tractor engines.
Yes.
Which were being completed and then sent out to Russia. You know, the bodywork for the gun. And that's why you've been brought out, because this was...
That's all, yeah.
And what were your duties then? I mean, as on the test bed?
Well, we had to assemble the engines on the test bed and rig up all the piping and contributory fitments to it, and then to test them against the water brakes or dynamos. Give them load testing over the various ranges of loading.
So you'd test that they could do what they were supposed to do?
That's all, yes.
And every engine would be tested like that, would it?
Yes, indeed.
It wasn't just samples?
No.
And did they all pass? I mean, was the quality of workmanship good?
Oh, yes, it had to be passed by inspectors viewing these final testings.
And what would happen if they didn't pass?
Well, whatever was contributing to their deficiency had to be made right.
And would you do that, or would it be sent back to the...
It'd be sent back to the building jobs, dependent on what it was, you see.
That would be the assembly?
Yes.
Area. And so what was the process of building then? They'd be built in the... It was still... All the parts were still manufactured in-house, were they?
National, yes.
So they built all the parts for the engines?
Yes.
And so then they'd make them in the assembly sheds, would they?
That's all, yeah.
And then they'd be tested. And then would they still go then to the paint shop?
Paint shop.
From the testing?
Yes.
And that's that. Those were the three stages?
Yes.
And were you just an ordinary worker?
Yeah.
Did you get promotion at all while you were there?
I was under the foreman as a later date on the test, but not then.
And did you get paid your army pay, or were you paid by the company?
Paid by the company.
So you didn't have much connection with the army at all?
No.
And were you working a longer day? I mean, was production on a war footing?
Yes, indeed. I've worked 67 and 73 hours a week.
And did they have women workers in the factory at that stage? What were they doing?
Oh, simple routine work on lathes.
So they'd brought them in since you left?
Yes, rather more than that.
Was there any objection to women working there? Did people feel they did a good enough job?
Oh, yes. Train driving and things like that they were doing. Splendid drivers.
So there was no prejudice against the women workers that were brought in?
I don't remember any. No.
And they did valuable work?
I would say so. Especially these girls that were driving these big cranes, old red cranes. They took slight velvet, you know, they were wonderful.
Were you suffering from a shortage of trained mechanics in the factory? I mean, you've been recalled.
Well, there must have, to warranted that occurring, there must have been similar, because a number of men who've been in the RAMC have been recalled prior to me.
So you weren't the only one?
No.
And
they brought them out of the RAMC to come back on munitions.
Did you have to report into the barracks at all?
No.
So you were just, as far as you were concerned, you were a civilian?
Yes, indeed.
And the only thing you built were these tractors. Were they only used on the Russian front? Why was it only for the Russian front? I mean, for Russia?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, they were actually Russian order.
And what happened after the revolution? I mean, what were you making in 1918?
Well, we went back to the usual practice of the horizontal and vertical work.
So this was just one big order, the Russian tractor order?
As far as I'm aware,
And the vertical and horizontal engines were just multi-purpose engines?
Yes.
You went back to them?
Yes.
And they could be used for all sorts of things?
Yes.
But you didn't build any more tractor or vehicle engines?
No.
Nothing for tanks or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. At a later stage, we did engines for agricultural work.
When was that? Before the end of the war?
Oh, I think it was after that time.
Did you have... What was the sort of atmosphere in Britain? You'd been in the army, you'd come back, it was now 1917-18. How was the war affecting people's lives in Ashton?
Well, as far as the people I work with regarded, people who've been in the... Any of the forces as being BFs, you know.
Sorry,
people as being fools for having joined.
So people who hadn't gone in thought you were fools to have gone in?
Fools to have gone in.
What about conditions at home? Was things like Were there food shortages and things like that that you noticed when you were at home?
Well, I don't remember much of that. Mother had to deal with it, you know.
So you were just pleased to be back?
Yes.